Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Johan Talman. I manage partnerships and business development at Nacho Nacho. We are a marketplace for B2B SaaS and services. And I'm currently based in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Awesome. So is Tulsa the headquarters, or how did you end up there?
The company, most of us are in San Francisco and New York, but we are a globally distributed team, France to Brazil. And I went to school on the East Coast. That was close to 20 years ago. Babson College, I finished my last year abroad, grew up in Germany, and had a last attempt to, get away before I started moving into the workforce. And I ended up meeting my wife, who is originally from Tulsa. She went to school on the East Coast as well. And we met and stayed together. We lived in Boston for a couple of years. And then when we had kids, we decided Tulsa is a better place to raise a family, especially, 15 years ago, the cost of living was very, 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 very low compared to any of the coast. And you are from Dallas, so you're probably, Tulsa, I think the Midwest in general is kind of spiking. Like, the real estate prices here are not as, especially in desirable areas. I mean, you're looking at very comparable prices to any other cities around the country.
For sure. And yeah, things are definitely getting more expensive. So yeah, I mean, that's cool that you're in Tulsa. So I guess in terms of you right now, in terms of what you do, right? So can you just tell me more about your role and like a typical day, what that looks like for you?
Yeah, so I maybe give you a little bit background on the company. So that kind of brings in the role itself. So we, our company, Nacho Nacho, we are a marketplace for B2B SaaS. So we have on one side, we have businesses as buyers. And on the buyer side, we help companies with between 5 and 500 employees to manage their SaaS spend. So here we are a full expense management platform, but we really specialize and focus on subscription management. And we found that probably 90% of the companies, especially in that 50 to 250 range, they have a problem, what we label as subscription sprawl. So they have duplicate subscription, unused subscriptions, employees are leaving the company, they leave subscriptions behind. So it's very messy, and then usually they waste around 30% on their SaaS spend. And we provide them with a platform where they can issue virtual credit cards, and those virtual cards are used one card per vendor. And so they can have a lot of flexibility in terms of turning cards on and off. So if employees are leaving, and that's the product we're leading with, that's how we acquire buyers. And my role is on the other side. I build partnerships with our vendors, and then we act as a reseller or referral partner for SaaS products. We have around 700 products, from the HubSpots to the Zooms, and then we promote them, act as a referral partner to our buyers. And that's really done internally through AI and machine learning. So we have around 200,000 products graph within our ecosystem. So if you are making a purchase to maybe Canva or product that is not listed in the marketplace, but we find something comparable, then we send you recommendations, say, hey, this might be an alternative. So really, we model ourselves after what is Uber, Etsy, eBay, Amazon.com is doing for consumers. We're doing for B2B SaaS. And we have a team on the buyer side, very classic sales setup to acquire companies. And I manage partnerships with SaaS companies. And it's interesting because our value proposition is very, very strong. Like, we don't, there's no cost to be listed, or there's no listing fee. So I kind of see it as a hybrid of the back end is very much of a classic sales role. Like I have a PropertyBD, Apollo, HubSpot, you know, other platforms for outreach, same tools as any BDR or SDR would use. But then the conversion is really strong. Like we get usually if people are understanding on the other side what we're doing, like we charge a commission for net new business generated. And that aligns pretty much with what most companies are already doing on the partnership side. But also, it literally no downside because they can get listed in 15 or 20 minutes. They can be up and running and their product be promoted. And at the end of the day, they're paying a commission anyway. And they kind of see us as the extension of their sales and marketing team. And then we don't have any, the commission itself is a very individual number based on companies, you know, the, I would say margins, like if you're a pure SaaS product, then that number, you have 80, 90% margin. So there's a lot more to give than maybe of a lower marginal product. But yeah, for me, it's a very it's rewarding in a way because I help businesses grow. But then I also partnerships in itself is a very people driven business because you have to, especially the partnerships, like we have many partnerships we probably started a year ago, maybe 12, 15 months, where the conversation took over between different key decision makers in a company, especially with companies like Zoom, where, you know, Gusto, the whole go-to group, there's a massive organizations, and what we are doing hasn't been done before. So our founder, Sanjay, that's his third startup, and he was really looking for, I would say, a white space and something that is difficult to do. That's always his explanation. White spaces, we don't have any competition. Like you mentioned companies like AppSumo, but they have a very unique approach of, okay, we provide a lifetime discount. We have, they market to specific personas, whereas we have more of a very broad marketplace, classic marketplace approach. And we see a lot of really, especially in the partners on the partnership side, a lot of those relationships really flourish over time. Like we, you know, we spoke to, I think Gusto is a good, great example, one of our partners. You know, we started out maybe with a very low lift motion of promoting them, cross promotion. They kind of wanted to ease into the partnership, especially the larger companies. They kind of need a proof of, you know, proof of concept before they go upstream in the company and sell what we are doing. Because problem is most of the conversation lead to, okay, what is the expected traction? And like that's probably coming up in most of the conversations I have. And it's very hard to estimate what the volume will be because we're not marketing the same product, and we can't estimate any good revenue projections on that side. What we do is with most, that's pretty helpful because we process already payments from our buyers to any kind of product. So if we build a partnership with a company where we already process payments from us, they don't have to be a partner. The virtual cards are used, and we can show them that transactional data to say our user base already is paying for your product. What helps here is they already see an initial overlap. But I think in any position, you really have to have a strong value proposition. And I think that's something we bring on board, especially as like one of our early partnerships was with HubSpot. And it also in that space, it's a lot of curation of relationships. Like we met them at an event, then there might be a, you know, a very 2 to 3 months follow-up, maybe a quick call. So on the partnership side, it's very slow moving. Like we've been working on partnership with Slack for probably, you know, we spoke to maybe close to 20 people within the organization. But we finally last this year at a conference, we met the right person. That's also, you know, when you're working in your role, I think you have to connect with the right person. So marketing to the wrong group, speaking to the wrong decision maker. Like when I end up like we had a call today with ADP. It's in general, it's the wrong team we're speaking to. So they have mandate, especially with larger companies. A lot of the managers, they have mandates and they stay within those mandates of like, you have to do X, Y, C, and that's how it looks like. And they're not in the, you know, we are both in a startup ecosystem. We are flexible. You know, the mandate is to generate business. That's the big picture. And then whatever we decide would make sense. But then you go to a company like, and I'm surprised that in companies like even Zoom, Gusto, some of the bigger brands like HubSpot, Hootsuite, very talented. I think they also attract talent who can make still informed decisions within their kind of given boundaries of like they use it, they still use some kind of rational thinking of like, hey, this is great for business. Like, let's find a way to work together. And it might not be, you know, if you're in an organization with like 1,000 people, then there's a lot less flexibility. But I think I am always surprised, especially looking at the tech companies, they have a lot more flexibility from top down. If you're in that space, I think you have to be very agile and I think they also attract people who have that mindset of like not, you know, think outside the box to maybe build new partnerships. Because again, the conversation we have is always leads always down the path of nobody has done that, or we don't have, like, we even ask them if they have anything similar or if they have a very similar setup.
Right.
Then it always comes down to, you know, we haven't done that before. And then right. It really comes down to the other side of thing. You know, let's try it and be creative.
So, for example, I mean, you know, so you mentioned a few companies there, but if, for example, HubSpot, right? So if HubSpot, they're one of your first, you know, early partners, when they join you guys, they get value from you essentially bringing your audience to them, and the audience gets value because you're offering savings to the audience, essentially,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, so our marketplace, all of the products, that's also our unique value proposition to our buyers. So all the products in the marketplace come with a substantial discount, and that discount comes from us. So if you are using the virtual card, the Nacho card, and you pay one of our vendors, then that discount is not applied through any coupon codes or anything you have to fill out. It automatically, when you make that payment, that amount is credited back. So if you're paying, you know, maybe 15.5 or go to, and then you make a payment with your card, then the redemption is baked in. So what we're doing is we basically take the rev share from the vendor, and we keep a small margin, and then we pass the remainder on to our buyers in form of a discount or cashback. I almost describe it as it builds network effects for the, so the buyer saves, and then also the vendor, we use their commission they would pay anyway, and then they leave it up to our discretion to div up that pie. But then we use that to fuel the promotion of their product, and without discounting, because our buyers, they pay 100% to the vendor. They pay the vendor directly. And at the end, the party who loses in that equation is platforms like Google AdWords or any advertiser, because your customer acquisition cost is basically, so your customer acquisition cost divided by lifetime value is basically your percentage. So your CAC is the percentage you're paying us. And in most cases, that is lower than your average CAC within the organization. So their rev, we always, right, like, if they're asking about what revenue share would make sense, then we ask them, you know, go through your data and analyze what you're currently paying to acquire a customer and give us that number or even lower. And at the end, everybody wins.
Makes sense. So, like, obviously, like, we spoke about some larger companies, you said HubSpot, Zoom, Slack, right? But what about, you know, companies that are smaller, that nobody's ever heard of, that mm-hmm. maybe are good companies? How are you bringing value to those companies?
Yeah, so in general, we have kind of three motions on the kind of their intent for companies. So the HubSpots and the Zooms were just one out of many channels and probably a small fish in the pond compared to, you know, their mass outreach and whatever they're doing. And then you have kind of medium-sized companies. And for them, it's a go-to-market growth channel. Again, they use many and we're just one of them, but a little bit more targeted. And the value we bring to, especially like smaller to mid-sized companies, is we can target specific customer segments. So especially if you're selling, you're maybe focused on HR tools, it's very difficult to sell specialized tools to your segment. So we can, because we have very deep knowledge of our customers, we know who they are, what geographic location, what company size, we know their category spending. So we have we're not guessing any data, we are marketing to the right persona within the organization. And then for, I would say, the more startup-ish kind of established companies, but more in a kind of startup-ish mode, for them, it's a growth channel, a go-to-market channel. And the value here is a very low lift on their end. Again, they can get listed. And they are usually very eager to give up a much higher percentage of their rev share. Because at the end of the day, we tell them that they essentially can control the promotion. Like if they are giving us, let's say, 30% rev share, we pass on maybe 25%. And then our engineering team is really doing a great job is to graph products. And so for smaller companies, like we actually are using it internally. It's called Instantly, and it's a sales automation tool. We never heard of it. We built the relationship, like, we have a good amount of inbound on both sides. And so we looked at the tool and we were just, all of us were just blown away of like the price value ratio, like the functionality of a sales loft. And then what we're doing on that side for especially the smaller sellers, we can look at transaction data to some of the larger competitors. And then we can market their product, who is fairly unknown, to our buyers who might use a higher price tool. You know, if you look at Gong, you know, the entry point for Gong subscription is, you know, for small companies, it's very cost prohibitive, but then we have many alternatives who have a very similar functionality. Like one of our partners based in Israel, we were actually on a call with them while they were in like full uniform. They were like startup mode, but they're like, life has to go on.
All right.
Posted that on LinkedIn and got a really good response, and helped them also. Like they got back to us because we're like, can we, you know, take a screenshot and post it? And even we didn't even have a formal partnership, but we were just like blown away of like their ability to just say, we are a startup. Now, what is going on here might not be beneficial for us right now, but they still, you know, took the call and they're like eager to grow. But their tool, Novacy, is has amazing functionality, like with CRM integrations, all the kind of enterprise solution gongs, but at a price point of under $100 per user per month.
Wow.
So that is like tens of the gong price. So that's also the value we bring to some of the smaller vendors to say, you know, we want to promote your product to customers who are already using maybe a higher price solution. But then we can promote you and bring you in front of potential users who are already familiar with that, but they might be looking for an alternative.
Right, exactly. I think that there's many companies out there that are very similar, but have the same functionality, but they're, you know, just not as well known. It's awesome what you guys are doing. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing the company website or just best ways to get in contact with you?
Yeah, company website is nachonacho.com, and my email is jochen@nachonacho.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.